I'm taking my mountain in the promised land. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many came to take what belongs to you? Well, we're going to put that Satan a warning. We are going to take what he stole from us. Amen. Why? Because God promised it to us. It's ours. All we have to do is take it. You might have to fight for it. That's the other part of it, you know. You might have to really, you know, get into a war there, but God already gave you the victory. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for your service. Amen. So glad to be back. You know, it is all my desire, and I know it's your desire. That's why you're here tonight, because you only desire his desire in your life to be done. And this is a part of the desire to be accomplished by listening to hear the word of God. See, it brings faith by his spoken word. And we are so glad to that we can be here, and it's a pleasure and it's a delight, you know, be with the body and feel the, we don't go by feelings, but I can help it. Feel the presence of the Lord always. Always. Not only here, whatever we do, at home, in the car, he's everywhere. So we cannot limit God, you know, to church. I'm so glad that he's so big that you cannot even begin limiting God. So tonight let's go to a second part. Prosperity is, when I started looking at it, it's a subject that you cannot, see, you know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because it's something that you cannot even explain in an hour. And then I don't have the luxury to have part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 30, 80. You know, break it to you in a small portion. So I had to break it in two portions. And I'm sorry, this morning I took my hour and a half that I, and a little bit more. But you know, God will bless you for this. God will bless you. Amen. So let's read from Isaiah 53:10. So we talked this morning about what was prosperity. Now let's find out how it's going to be done in your life. We had defined it pretty good. You understand what prosperity is, and that is just equivalent as perfection, being made perfect, and that's God's purpose, and he want to prosper you into that. So tonight we're going to see that it's going to take a little bit of your part and my part to get there. You have a thing you have to do in this. This is not just something that God is going to do for you and you're going to do nothing. You have a responsibility. And Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He had put him to grief. How many of you going to be bruised and want to be grief? But Jesus Christ did. Shall we quit just now? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall see his seed, you and I, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord, this is God's purpose and pleasure, to prosper in his hand. So we had to go through certain things. But the end result is he's going to prosper us in this. In this journey, you're going to make us perfect. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Father, I ask your unction to be over this pulpit, over me, Father. Not only me, but the audience, Father, the congregation. And we ask you tonight that you speak to us, Father. Not me, but you speak, Father. And we set myself aside. And you can take over, Lord, Father. We thank you, as our brother said, for your goodness and your faithfulness. What you have done, you do it, and you will do in our life. But we are so grateful. Father, there's just, like I said, no words to express our gratitude to you tonight. You probably have to give us another language, Father, one of these days. Father, we ask you presence tonight that feel welcome. We want to make you feel welcome tonight, Father. So we're asking you to take your rightful place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. So you can be seated. So part two, how God is going to do this world, you already have a little hint here, you know. So the first one is please. Mm-hmm. All that we do and all that he asks us to do is to please himself. And that is my desire in life, is to please him. Maybe I don't understand everything I go through, but if that is what he wants from me, he knows what's best. He knows it's perfect. So I should be pleased to let him, you know, mold me, shape me, use anything, any circumstance, any situation, just to shape me and mold me to his image that he had before the foundation. So please, in Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet spoke, behold, talking about Jesus Christ in the Transfiguration Mountain, I bring a cloud that overshadowed them, you know. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. What a word. So I like to hear those words, you know. Because God, as we read, he put him through. It pleased him to put him through all that. It wasn't easy, because at the end, he still, as a human being, you know, he said, can this cup pass some other way, you know? Of course. But he said, but let me please you. Whatever you decide for me, that's what I want to do. I know it's going to hurt. Yeah. I sure did hurt. I sure I'm going to have to suffer. I know what they're going to do. He already read the scriptures. He knows exactly who he was, what he was, and what his outcome in that life, in that journey was. He saw himself in the scriptures. And you and I, we're not just walking, you know, kind of blindly. We know. We know what the Bible says. We know what we have to go through. This is not a picnic, Brother Brown says. It's not, we haven't joined a picnic. This is a war. Amen. So I don't want to hear, well, I didn't know that. Do I have? No, we are not ignorant. But I'm going to tell you that suffering is not a bad thing. Well, not for you, but for me, it's bad. You know, nobody likes to suffer. Who likes to suffer? Who likes to go through all these things? But God has a purpose for this. There's no other way. This is God's design. That's all it is to it. And he's a perfect God, so he knows what he's doing. And that's why we have to trust him. So at the end, we can hear those words, you know, faithful, you know, coming to the glory of the Lord. See? So he was pleased. He was pleased with Christ, you know, walk. He learned obedience. So 2 Titus 1:12 says, For the which cause I also suffer. This is Paul talking, these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Never be ashamed. You know, people are gonna look at you and say, I cannot believe you. You keep following this thing and look at what you look at. Look at what is going on. Look at, you know, what you're going through. You know, don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Said, and he, and you know, Paul went through a lot of things. He says, never be ashamed. He says, for I know whom I have believed. He said, when you know who you have believed, there is no moving. Come hell, water, flood, I don't care. We are not going to be moved. Why? Because we know who is in charge. We know who is in control. I don't know who is going to win this election. I don't care. I know one thing. I know who controls the governments. That is going to get worse, but God knows what he's doing. I'm just glad that he's doing it. That's all I know. See? And I am persuaded, not only he knows, but he's persuaded. I mean, he has no doubt about what he knows. He has no doubt. He said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And I put in parentheses, your soul, you know, unto him against that day. So Paul was convinced. He was more than convinced. He was persuaded, you know, that he was able. It doesn't matter what matter in our life, what we go through, He's able to keep us. Maybe we don't like it, but he's able to keep us. Now, as Paul here in Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know him. So all this journey is to do something. The end of this journey is to know him better every day. I know him better every day. So every day, to know him. Now, to know him is not only to know about him, to know him, but to experience God in your life. Every day. But the brother said, if you don't experience God, I don't know if he said that, but I heard that if you don't experience God, you know, a day you're backsliding. If you don't have communion with God, if you don't hear from God, I would be worried. Something's going on. Not God, but me. So experiencing him every day in your walk, you know, in everything that you do, you can experience God. And not only experience him, but experience him in the power of his what? Resurrection. That quickening power I put there that Paul was talking about. I want to know also in the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, okay, that's where you and I depart. We done. I followed you so far. That was good. But what? The fellowship of his suffering. Being made comfortable unto his death. So, but Paul is saying, you know, here that it doesn't matter if I had to die for, I know the end of this is death. He says, I'm comfortable with that. How can anybody can say that, you know? Even if he kill you, yes. I'm comfortable. Because to die is gain. He knew what he was doing. To live is Christ, to die is the gain. In fact, in Paul in the scripture, he was talking about he was ready to go. He wanted to go. He desires to be with Christ. And that's why he gave this to him is live and to die is gain, because he wanted to go. He was ready. But he says, if he keeps me here, you know, I want to magnify his name. I want to manifest his name in life or in death. It doesn't matter. So he says, unto his death. And that was Paul. And Job says in here, James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure, you know, count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Job, you know, count it all joy when you're suffering, when you're going through trial, when you're going through temptation, when you're going through test, count it endure, you know, overcome, count it all joy. He says, you have heard of the patience of Job and I have seen the end of the Lord. It says that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So, hey, he might commit you to death like Paul. He might commit you to suffering. It doesn't matter. Whatever God is doing in our life, we are welcoming. Because we know that he's more than able to do and bring us all the way through. But the brother saying here, talking about purpose and suffering, because we're talking here about suffering right now. In this position of the 7-8 churches, he says, that is his prerogative. Who's going to argue with him? Who's going to be a referee between God and you and him? No, that's God, sovereign. See? Who's going to argue with him? But it's all with a purpose. Huh? See? So God is not making you suffer because you don't have nothing else to do. And God is not making you to go through whatever you're going through because he just wants you to suffer. No. He says over here, he has a purpose. And he says, if he did not have a purpose, then he would be an author of frustration. And God is not the author of confusion. He says, and not of peace. Remember this morning, you know, he says, I will give you according, you know, I know my thoughts that I have about you and thoughts of what? Peace. So God is not the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would make what? Perfect. Well, what a way to perfect you, huh? Do you parents do the same thing? You know, he had a big belt or a switch or whatever. I know he makes you obedient. If not, you know what you was going to get, and that's your natural parent. But I mean, God don't do it, you know, to make you suffer. That's a different thing. You know, we are humans. His purpose is that after you have suffered a while, we would make perfect. So without suffering, there's no perfection. Without suffering, you cannot prosper to a completion. That's his design. I'm just the messenger. He says, a while we will be made perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Now, how many wants to suffer? You know, whatever God has for me. Because I know the end is going to be better than the beginning. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a perfect. I'm going to be established. I'm going to be strengthened. As Job says, he puts strength in us. Brother was praying about, give us a strength when we were praying. And Job says in 23:6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put a strength in me. So listen to me. Everything that happens to you is going to give you strength. How? I mean, I'm weak right now and I'm sick. I can't even have to drag myself to church. Don't worry, after that is over, God is going to give you strength. I remember this morning I was telling you, the first time I went to Mexico, I was just new in the message, you know. And I went to Mexico almost 20 days, 21 days. The first time Brother Larry took me that way, he said, come on, I'm going to show you the ropes. I was still young, you know, 40 years ago. Let's go. I left my wife, you know. I don't know what she thought about it, but I left her and the kids and took off. In San Barbara, it's not that way, okay? We talked about it. So I told you the first week my stomach got loose so bad. I mean, it was hurting. And I mean, it's bad anyway. You can't even do anything, sleep or eat or nothing. So Brother Larry said, come on, let's take you to the pharmacy. Because finally, I confided in him. I wasn't even saying anything. I thought it would pass away, and it was getting worse. So he bought me some pills, and finally, he went away, and we continued our trip, and we finished it. But I'm going to tell you something. After that day, I have served the Lord for 40 years in Mexico, in Venezuela. I've gone to Africa. I've gone here and there and everywhere. And I have not had a repeat of anything. I had to suffer because God figured, if you're going to do this work, I need to inoculate you. You know, you need to have that virus or bacteria, whatever it is, so your body will create an immune system so you can be strengthened when next time it comes around. I have been in Mexico for more than 40 years. I have eaten, I have drink, I have done everything. I eat everything they have. Never refused it. I never been sick. So see, God was putting me through something. He figured, well, if you're going to do this, we have to do it the right way. I didn't understand, but he said, because I heard many preachers, he says, if God sent you, God protect you. But I'm thinking, well, God is not helping here too much now. But God had a good idea. He says, you need to find this virus so you can create that immune system. And later on, you're going to be strong about it. Amen. So sometimes we look at things a different way, but everything that we go through is to strengthen your faith. So you can become more established in what you believe and things like that. See? So he says over here, suffer, he says, let's see what part. Okay, thank you. For even here unto we are called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. See, an example of meekness and gentleness in his heart. Take my yoke that is, you know, and learn of me. See, that you should follow what? His steps. So Christ is our pattern, our example. And he's there for us to follow him, follow his steps. Brother Branham says in exposition of the seven eight churches, I thought I... He says, you see, he himself suffered, he learned obedience by the things that he has suffered. He was actually made perfect by the thing that he has suffered. You know, you and I, we have to learn obedience, he says. In Hebrews 5:8-9 says, thought we were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And we are not going to live here until we get perfect character. Sorry, I had to bring the bad news. But you are not getting here until that work is done. And it's going to take what? Some suffering. But you still have time. If you haven't signed for this, you still can withdraw. No, you cannot withdraw. You are not going to do it. We are convinced. Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Glory. And we talk about glorification this morning. So that's the only way you can be glorified. The only way you can have his glory, his character in you, is by what? Experiencing all these things. So don't be surprised when we get sick, when we go through situations. You should even, like I said, you know, rejoice because God is doing something for you. God is doing something for your faith, to establish you, to strengthen you after that. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall come and be revealed unto us. Sometimes we think, you know, 70 years is a long time. According to God, you know, that's just dust. You know, when you look at 1,000 years of eternity, what is your life compared to that? You know, a piece of sand, little pebble. So what we think is a lot is not. Exposition of the seven churches, he says, and according to Paul, he has left his church with a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, we come to the place of perfection. He says, why did he want this? See, James chapter 1, 2, and 4 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and tiring and wanting nothing. Brother Brands continues saying in the exposition of seven churches, why does he stand by? Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Oh, we want to reign with God. In fact, we want to sit next to his throne. Well, we got to go through what he went through. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. That's the purpose. And that is the reason that we have to have the character to reign. Reigning without character is evil. So, and the only way you can have character and perfection is by suffering. You have to suffer to reign, he says. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Well, who made that one? Well, God, I guess. And God is right. If he said that you have to suffer to have character, then so be it. It's done. That's what Brother Brown said. Why did he want to do this? Because without that, you're going to have no character. And without character, you're not going to get out of here. Amen? Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character cannot reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share his throne, he wants us to share his throne on the same basis that he overcame and he sat down on his father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us. So we have something to look at. Not at the suffering. We have something to look forward, you know. Amen. And he continues saying, when he comes, oh, what a treasure are laid up in those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulations. Remember what the Bible says, you know. those that enter in, they had to fight his way into. Not just walking out like a nonchalant, you know, I made it. No. We're going to have to fight our way through it. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him. Hey, that's me. They, that's me. So see, he, this is what I'm telling you. He already saw the end result. God already know what the end result. So he already saw me. He says, I overcame. I don't know how, but I'm going to overcome, because he said they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So he already saw the vision. We already there. All we have to just play it out. Because he already going to finish that word that he started on you. So he goes. That's the vision. We there. So the thing is, God will not leave us or forsake us. You know, through all that, he is with us. Well, how can you lose when you have all that power behind you? Amen. He says, and they love not their life unto death. Again, like Paul says, you know, I'm comfortable. If even if I'm suffering and it takes me that far, gain to me. That's a game changer. And let's go and move to a better place and a better things. Greater, you know, exposition of the seven churches again. Think it not a strength concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. It is strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering. No, sir. And we all have trial. We are all tried and chastened as a son. No one but goes through that. Now listen carefully. The church that is not suffering, let's put it that way, the person that is not suffering, it is not being what? Tried, hasn't got it, ain't got it. So, you know, you can be at there and say, well, oh, I'm going good. My life is going well. I mean, I'm getting better. I mean, I'm not, well, I would be a little worried if everything is going well. Why God is not trying me? Why? If he loves me, he will, you know? So, I would say the same thing with a member of a church. If a person, if a son of God is not suffering, he's not developing character. So we're going to have to suffer. Brother Brandon continues saying, Hebrews 12:6-8, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son who he receives. But if you be without chastisement, therefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and sons and not sons? See, that's what it's saying. If a church is not suffering, a person is not suffering, I'll be worried. Because I'm not that guy. I'm a son of God, a daughter of God. Amen. Now, this special condition is in Smyrna, must be applied to every age. This was not just for Smyrna. For this age too. Amen. It says, there is no age free from it. Today, the thing is that most of our, you know, tribulation, most of our suffering, most of our war is not in the physical sense. You know, we fight in deception to the max. You know, it is all here. You know, and people suffer. What is depression? You know, it comes into the body, but it's a spirit. You know, we're not fighting no more like in the ox age. You have to actually really naturally die for it. But today, you have to die to yourself. So, if you ask me, you know, this last age is worse, is 7 times worse than the other ones. Because it drags everything. Plus, now, everything is a mind-controlling game. Everything out there is someone is trying to control, manipulate. You know, even forget about our presidencies. All that is manipulation. All that we see is all manipulation. Trying to believe a lie. But that's what Satan do. Manipulate things so you can believe a lie. That's what he did with. So, but we are not, you know, dumb or stupid. We know, because the Holy Spirit in us help us to discern. See, we have discernment. God has given us that, so we know what we are looking at. So it says, there's no true believer free from it. So if you hear me tonight, you're not free from suffering. So now don't get surprised when you start suffering. Remember, Brother Eli said, I'm not, exempt of suffering. This is of God. This is the will of God, and it's needful. We need to the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Well, that's one of the main purpose of the whole thing. To suffer and count it all joy and rejoice when we are going through all these things. That's one of the parts of it. So Matthew, love suffers long and is kind. It says, of course, when we suffer, we don't get mean and, wow, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't, but God knows. And God was the one that allowed it, not me. So don't get mad at me, I'm just trying to help. Be kind, even when you are sick, suffering, you still have to be kind. You still have to be Christ-like. Jesus suffered all the way to the end, and he never retaliated to anyone. Look at what all they done to him. That is our example. Blessed are ye, Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when man shall revile you, he said, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice. And I said, rejoice. You know what? If you are going through tribulations and you're going through all this kind of stuff and people are saying and falsely accusing you and going through all this thing, you be the person that when you walk through those doors, you have a big smile in your face. And nobody will know that you're going through anything. When we see you say, whoa, what is so happy about? And then when you ask, you'll be surprised. Oh, because I'm suffering. I'm going through this. Well, how can you smile and do it? Well, I'm rejoicing that God is doing a work in my life. So now when you walk through the store, make sure that you smile. Because if you don't smile, I'm not going to say, what are you going through? That you have that countenance. It's just down and, your lips look like prune. So you must be not only the most blessed people in this earth, but you should be the most happy people in this place. Regardless what's going on in your life. If that makes sense to you? Well, it makes sense to you now, but in your body when you suffer, it will make no sense. But I'm telling you now that you're not suffering, so it makes sense to you now. Amen. Blessed are ye, says. Rejoice and be exceedingly, not just a little bit, exceedingly more, Just don't do it like, I'm okay. But that don't look like exceedingly stuff to me. Smile to the soul when they ask you how you doing. I'm doing good. Thank the Lord for it. I'm rejoicing. See? Because remember what Jesus told the religious people that day, because they used to deface their faces, the priests, and look like they were going through, they've been fasting for days, they wasn't, but they deface and they put all clothes, all dirty, they want to look like they've been fasting because they want the people to believe that they were. That people have pity, oh pobrecito. Oh, I love my pastor. The preacher or the whatever. Look at him. He's been fasting the whole week. And, oh, man, he even lost his color. I don't know if he's white or black or brown. He lost his color. He's fainting away. They used to do that. Jesus said they'd do that. Right. See, to deceive the people. We don't have to do that. We don't have to put on that. We don't have to make believe anything. We just rejoicing because God is doing a mighty work in us. Amen. So we should be the happiest people when we go to this church and when we go to work and everywhere we go. It doesn't matter how it feels. Amen. Well, If you don't believe it now, you believe it later. While he yet spoke, Matthew 17:5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. I read you this at the beginning. And he says, this is my beloved son, and I will please hear ye him. Amen. So, the end of this first part, the first P that is pleasing, Second Titus 3:12 says, yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you don't want to sign for this, that's okay. But, you know, if you did sign, this is what you're expecting. We have not joined a picnic. We shall suffer persecution. The second one is pleasure. We have to suffer, and we are doing things for his pleasure, for his purpose. Now, in Ephesians 5:9 says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure, to his pleasure. This is not your pleasure. It pleases God to call you and to choose you. But that was his pleasure. Of his will. See, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Revelation 10:7. I put in between there, I think. It says, God sent a prophet to reveal, you know, the word, to open the word to us. And the mystery that we were in him before the foundation in his mind. See, according to this, to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So you have nothing to do with this. But it's all to do with him. Amen. We are just happy and glad that he chose us. I mean, he could have chosen somebody else. In fact, sometimes the way we act, you know, if you could lose your salvation, lose all these things that you know, message, and for somebody, they tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that if they were here, they will believe. And here you are. God called you, chose you. So we should have no problem, you know, doing what he asks us to do, according to his pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So we are the redeemed of God. And God has made his knowledge known to us. You know, it has been revealed to us. And not only his knowledge of who we are, but the work that he desires that we should do. All that is revealing this message. We are not ignorant. We know the promises of God and what we have to do. So we are not surprised if we have to suffer. But that was his pleasure. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. See? And says, I wrote some things in there, in between there, but I like to make myself some notes, but this time I didn't take the notes out of the thing. Expectation, righteousness. We talk about expectation this morning. Righteousness, peace, and joy on the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God in your heart. But that's what the kingdom of God is, in your heart. Brother Branham says in the unwelcome Christ. Now, here is the reason that you do not see more cripples healed than you do as other things. For instance, the man is having a toothache. So he's trying to explain that's why we don't see more of him, you know. More of his miracles, more of his things. He says, a man could have a toothache, or maybe he has a little fluttering in his heart. Oh, yes, and you said, I guess I could be healed, all right, because there is no such much wrong with me. And another thing is, he's saying, if you get sick, and maybe you have, a toothache, but you know there's remedy for that, you can run to the doctor, you know. And if you have a little problem, well, you know, there's remedy for all kind of little things in you. So what he's saying, sometimes you don't even need faith. People don't just run to do. And there's nothing wrong with that, to go to the doctor. But we should run to him first. I don't care how small it is. Because as soon as we say we can take care of this, then God is out of the picture. It doesn't matter how small or how big is the suffering. He says, oh, you said, I guess I could be healed all right, because there's not so much wrong with me. So he's trying to explain that it doesn't matter how little or how big the problem and the suffering, you know, it still got purpose in your life to let you go through this. Now he says, and his faith will reach right out and catch it. See? Right away. Because now you go and you get the medicine, you get healed, and you catch it. I'm healed. Praise the Lord now. You got the glory. Right? But you, when you become crippled, now, you know what become crippled is? You lost control. See, as long as you're in control and you can walk to the pharmacy or you can do whatever you can do and you take some pills and get better, if you have a headache, that's fine. But what happens when you lose control completely of the situation? You lose hope. Because now where is your faith? And the doctor tell you, I can do nothing for you. In fact, it's too far gone. Now it's stage 4. Now you lose control. And now, where's your faith? Where's your hope? So, I think we should practice in the little things first. Huh? So, we make sure we catch the big ones. But, see, when we take control of our life, even in little things, I'm trying to teach you something here. You know? Oh, you said, I can make it. Just can't. It's just like me. If I said, well, I'm going to take a trip to Michigan. Oh, I got the GPS. No, I got all the map and I know how to get there. I've been there 100 times, so I'm not depending on God now. But what happened when I get in an accident, my car is stolen and I'm hurt, now I'm out of control, now what is going to happen? It could have been avoided if I would have seek God first for the trip. Regardless, if I went there 100 times and I can do it blindly and sleeping with the cruise control and go to sleep, like I do sometimes. My wife laughed because one time I was so tired, I went to sleep driving, and God has helped me, you know. I could have been dead by now many times. I'm out of the road, in the medium of the road, and I'm bumping, and my wife wakes up because I told her, go to sleep, rest, because I need you. And she believed me. She said, but you okay? I'm okay, I'm okay. So she went, and then I went, and the kids were in the back, you know. And everybody just, and I look, and I'm in the middle of the two highways in the rough part. I'm glad it wasn't, you know, that bad. And I look back in my rearview mirror, and all the cars are way about 100 feet because they didn't see me, so they figure, you know, careful with this guy because, man, I woke up and, you know, I'm glad that the incline wasn't deep. Like, man, so she never let me forget that. When I travel, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Man, you don't let me leave that one out. I mean, that was happened a long time ago. I haven't done it again. I have, but I just don't tell her. I have done it again because you're driving a slow and you hear, because in the side of the road, they put this line. So you want to wake you up. And she wake up and said, what's going on? No, nothing. It's a bad road anyway. I know it's not funny because I could get in an accident. I could, but. God has his hand upon us. I'm so glad because I commit everything to God. I don't care how many times I've done that. I had to trust God for everything. I drove from Tucson here to Alaska, 4,000 miles. I was stationed in Alaska, so I came down to pick her up, and Monica was born at that time, and took my car and my belongings, and I drove from here all the way, that's 4,000 miles. Well, I was young and stupid and ignorant, you know, like you are when you know. So I can take the world. It doesn't matter. So I usually drive 1,000 miles before I decide to stop. I mean, I could do that. I mean, I'm missing my calling. I should be a truck driver because I can drive with my eyes closed. I mean, I can. No, you can't. Okay. What if I have sensors all over the car? No. Okay, so anyway, not for a truck driver. Okay, so anyway, I drive 1,000 miles. That's 24 hours. Usually, it takes me to drive that far. By the time you stop to get gas and eat and the time, and then I will rest. And then next day I will drive another 1,000 miles. And I like to drive. I don't know why, but I drive and I drive. I feel like I'm free when I'm driving. I don't know. I feel, and Mike. feel the same way? He's not free when he's driving. I feel free. Like, you know, I'm just flying away. Anyway, so it took me 4 days, almost 5 days. I left on a Saturday. I got there on a Friday, I think it was. It took me almost a week to get there. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know the message then, but I trusted God for everything. I get to the border of Canada and the United States. Then you have to stop and you have to check in. In those days, I didn't know much about anything, talking about more than 40, 50 years ago, going. The guy said, how much money do you have? I said, I don't know. I know I didn't have enough. I have $400, $500. In those days, that was good enough to make a trip. Now you need $1,000-some dollars. So then the guy said, but can you call somebody to send you some money, wire you some money? I said, why? You don't know, this 1,200 miles, the Alaskan Highway, from here to Alaska, is called the Alaskan Highway, and it's 1,200 miles of gravel. And now it's the monsoon season, so it's a lot of, you know, rain, and it's a lot of water holes, and it's a lot. And usually, if you make it, he says, people, when it gets there, the axle broke, the windshield break, because trailers go through there, and I mean, it's all gravel. Now, they paid it, oh? So paid, but I'm talking 50 years ago. He says, and I don't think you're going to make it. That's all the money you got. And then what happened? You had to repair that car. I said, well, okay, I'll be back. Let me talk to my wife. So I went in the car. I didn't talk to my wife. And I drove, and I went through. They didn't stop me. I wasn't going to. I just kept going. So I drove through the Alaskan Highway, gravel, holes, and it was the monsoon season in that time. Rain, mud. In fact, when I got to Alaska, my car was supposed to be red and with a white top, and it was all brown, all cobber. Not a flat tire. Nothing wrong with my car, just that it was a different color. But see, the grace of God. You know, you said, but you was in this message, but it doesn't matter. God honored faith. God had no respect to person. God honored his faith. And I had faith that God will take me. I don't know how, I don't know, but we did it. We made it all the way, and that's the biggest trip that I have made in my life. But I tell you, I wasn't counting that I can do it. I don't know, the car could break down. Yes, the guy was right. All these things can happen. But nevertheless, you know, I'm going. And God saw me through. Not even a crack in the windshield. There were trailers that go by and they pebble bouncing, not even that. Not a flat tire. That's why I just get on the road and I trust God. It doesn't matter, you see, because if we start, you know, trying to depend on ourselves because we have done it, I know I can do it, that's it. God is, okay, God said, well, okay, do it. I know in my life, all the traveling that I have made, if it wasn't for God, I could have many accidents. He has protected me many times in many instances. That is the only reason that I make it. So anyway, let me continue. But you when become crippled, you lose hope. See? And you said, I cannot make it now. See? Why? It's too late? Well, not for God, but see, I just can't. Well, it's the Father's good pleasure to make you well. Now, you need to think about that. It's the Father's pleasure to make, when we get sick, we get afflicted, don't look at the problem, don't look at the situation. God can make you well. That's all you have to think. God can make me well. See, you make you well just the same as the others. Just don't pay no attention how bad you're a cripple. Look at who made the promise. Look at that promise. So even if we go to any affliction, any suffering, look at the promise. See, because he promised that he is our healer and he heals all, not just some, all our diseases. But we had to let him have control. See, Peter, Philippians 2:13, for it's good, it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do for his good pleasure. So listen, you don't have to just put it on cruise control. He take out the rest. Because it's God. God is mindful of you. God is mindful of the word that he has put in you. You are a word spoken. And God is watching over his word. See? Amen. So, Revelation chapter 2 says, same thing will be with our sisters here that is in the wheelchair. Or maybe others that are sick and afflicted. He says, if you can have perfect understanding, you know, perfect love, perfect understanding, perfect life, you cannot do that. God has to do that. See, we've got to depend on God for these things. See, on this perfect understanding, that is God's good pleasure to make you well. He let that happen to you. He let Satan do, afflict you. But the only reason he did that is to make you well. Don't lose control of what's going on, because that's what happened. See, everything that happened in our life, God is in control. And it's going to be better after we come out of these things. You're going to see that. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be a better Christian. See, he's working perfection. He says, there is not enough devils in the country to keep you what? Sick. You know why? Because as we heard this morning, he cannot prosper. He cannot create any weapon that he can prosper. The only one that can prosper is God in your life. So if he cannot prosper, how is he going to take my life away? Unless God decides that this is my time to go. That's a different story. See, that is right. When you understand that if God good pleasure to make you well, that he has did it for you, and you understand then how that you are to go to a certain thing, you know, where man says, do this and that, then you don't fear. You just do as God leads you to do. But you need to understand and have a perfect understanding that God is your healer and that God pushed you through this, but God has the solution to your problems. How long they're going to last? It doesn't matter if it lasts a year. I was sick last year. That year was my worst year, my wife and I, because not only she was going through her thing, I was going, and I couldn't do nothing for her, and she couldn't do nothing for me. But here a year later, you know, I'm standing in this pulpit. Why? Because I'm looking onto him. I came over here before I left last year, that I left for a month or two I needed to have a sabbatical. I could not do anything. I was almost crippled or stiff from all my joints, and my feet were swelling and my hands were swelling, and I couldn't even move my hands, my knee. I mean, my wife had to help me. I told you that before. Even to take a shower, I couldn't even do that much. She had to do my back and everything else, and even to go to the bath, she has to help me. And she was going through her thing too. So, that was a terrible year, but also it was a wonderful year, because I came and before I left, I told Brother Doug, pray for me. Because I believe God, see? I believe that he's a man of God. I believe that you are a son and daughter of God. And he prayed for me. And that was then. It lasted a whole year. You think I went to another church, to somebody else to pray? I already had a prayer. I already know that God is going to make me well, because God says if somebody lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, it's been done. Now God is on you. I just had to win through all this stuff. And I did. I mean, my wife did. And we're standing today by the grace of God. I didn't need to find somebody or some one that has the gift of prayer or go to doctors. And no. Even though I went to doctors and they found nothing wrong with the little instrument, sometimes they cannot pinpoint what the cause is, the problem of things. They know what the symptoms are and they treat the symptoms, but don't know where they're coming from. Anyway, enough of that. So, he says, for his God wish that work in you both the will and the do for his good pleasure. He says, Second Timothy or Second Thessalonians, I think it is, 1:11. I'm not there yet. Okay. Therefore, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. See? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. And the work of faith with power. See, worthy of the calling. You know, sometimes the Bible says, you know, to your calling and your you have to make sure. I mean, you have to know that you know that you know that He called you. You have to be more than convinced. You have to that this is not you. That this is God. You know, work. So the problem is that some people do not even know what the calling is. And what I'm talking about calling is, are you sure, you're sure that this is God working in you? Like I said, are you sure and sure that God is going to make you well? Do you have that understanding that this is all God working in you for His own good pleasure? See, we need to know our calling. See, because if we don't know our calling, then we are going to be frustrated. If we know our calling, we can fulfill the plans of God in our life. Revelation chapter 2. It says, same thing will be with our sister there in the wheelchair. That's what I left it. Maybe other than our sick and afflicted, if you can have perfect understanding. We read this one. I think I jumped. It is good pleasure to make you well. There is not enough devils in the country to keep you sick. That's refreshing for me. See, that's right. When you understand that God good pleasure to make you well. An exposition of the seven and eight churches. If John, in John 6:37 and 44 says, all that the Father give me shall come to me. Wow, what a promise, huh? So Satan cannot plug you away from his hands. Sickness, they say, it just doesn't matter whatever he, let it bring the whole arsenal of weapons. He cannot pluck me from the hands of Jesus Christ, from the love of God. So all I have to do, if I have to suffer through it, you know, I want to be worthy of the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come to me, and him that come to me, I shall not wise cast away. No man can come to me except the Father calls. It says, Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. John 12:13. But as many as he received, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. He's talking about your calling. You have to make sure what you believe and who you believe in. Your calling. He says, Ephesians 1:4-5, according as he has chosen us, him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He that started the work, he finished it. This is him. He promised you all this. So we need to be worthy of our calling. If he promised me that he's going to start and he's going to finish and he's going to do it all in between, so I have confidence, I have an understanding that God loves me and he will never forsake me. It doesn't matter what comes, what goes. And if I die, like Paul says, you know, even unto death. See, our brother that passed away so young, but even unto death, if that is the case, you know, I will be worthy of my calling. Now, without getting too involved in the subject of sovereignty of God, for that would take a book of itself, let me point out here that according to this verse, Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride just the same as men chooses bride today. The bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. So if you have been chosen, you didn't choose yourself. The husband has to choose you. And I'm so glad that he chose me tonight. No, no, sir. He said, it is the groom who decides and choose a certain woman for his bride. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, that is your calling, and you have to be certain of your calling. Because then it will be no doubt to face anything that comes. Because you know who is behind the whole thing. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was his purpose in himself, Ephesians 1:9 and in Romans 9:11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Amen. Your calling and your election. Make sure your calling and your election. Amen. You cannot read it in any other way. The hard purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. We are so glad that he chose us. He could have chosen somebody else. I was thinking the other day, you know, could have chosen somebody else. Why did he choose me? So if he chose me, I want to be worthy of his calling. So you cannot read any other way. The hard purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride to his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. Yeah, you and I. That purpose was in himself already. See? And being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. It was in his mind before the foundation of the world. You are a spoken word. Amen? Now, I kept you long this morning, but I don't want to keep you long today. I just needed to finish this second portion. As we read in Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And this is God designed to reveal his word and to accomplish that he has spoken of you. It's a pleasure. I don't know why people don't look at it that way. It is a privilege. You know, I don't want to go there anyway. But God never speaks in vain. See? God never speaks in vain. He never fails to produce the effect which he intends. Never. God cannot fail. Right. So, we need to seek God with all our hearts. Let him have his way, and he shall give you your expected end. Back to the glory of God we're talking about this morning. Revelation 9:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. How do you make yourself ready? We already have the dress, and the dress is the Word of God. You take the Word of God, and you just feed into it. Listen, God is not going to change the Word so you can feed on it. You need to change so you can feed in that Word. Whatever you have to do, whatever I have to do, you know, it has to be done. Whatever he desires, he is our husband. Whatever he wants, see, we want to do. He says, the marriage of the Lamb is coming. The wife has made. Now, she made herself ready. That is your choice. That is your calling. To make yourself ready. To take his word. And dress yourself. How you dress, you believe it. And then, not only you hear, but you do it. See? So that is our calling. Whatever he has in mind, that's what we want to do. So, Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. I remember Brother Doug preached about that a long time ago. Revelation 19:9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. So are you feel blessed that you are called? Are you happy? Are you thinking about it? Because I don't see no face expression. You probably, your brains are going. Sometimes when Brother Doug says, oh, you got so quiet. No, I'm thinking of what you just said. I'm molding it, you know. Because you just said something that kind of, okay. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And she overcame by her testimony. We believe this message. That is our testimony. And we don't care if we died or not, that we got to die to ourselves anyway. So you don't need to kill me. I'm already dead. So all I need is something to carry me out that way. So finish whatever purpose. Yeah? Because you, if God's tearing, we all got to go that way. Cancer, I don't care what it is. You have to have a certificate of death that said he died and what you died for. I mean, that's, it had to be done. But it doesn't matter, because if you don't, if people will die and disappear, then the world will be in chaos looking for, you see my daughter, you see my wife, I don't know. See, it has to be the certificate and it's signed, and what did you die for? And then there will be no more search. But until that day, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So that is today what I call to be prosper, to prosper in his word every day, to be what he called us to be. But you don't have to worry, because he will make you. He promised you, and he will make that work in us. Do we have to go through suffering? Do we have to go through situation? Count it all joy, because God is doing the work, and we have an understanding that we will be better off, more perfect. God is working perfection through suffering and through the things that happen in life. So tonight we have finished what I call prosper as your soul prosper. See? As God prosper in your soul and teaching you every day, you walking with God and you're worthy of his calling and you believe in God and you know exactly, you know, what you have to do and not do. As your soul start prospering, you know, God is not going to give you a full revelation. We cannot handle it anyway. This body cannot handle a full revelation. Jesus could. We can't. I need a different body to handle all this revelation. But little by little, by glory, 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 little by little, you know, he's going to bring me to the fullness of that revelation. And by the time I get there, it's time to go. Amen. But I got to be worthy of his calling. Amen. So may you prosper as your soul prosper. Not only spiritually, but also in health. Because if you are prospering in Christ, you will live a healthy way. You know? Because it doesn't matter if you're sick, it's just God will take care of that. I have lived all these years, you know, and I can say that I have not seen a hospital. I have not spent a night in the hospital. I'm not looking forward to spend nothing in the hospital. But you don't know, you get older, you know. But I have not been in a hospitalized. I have not had any surgery. See? I have not break any bones. That's because I'm a thick bone head anyway. My bones are so thick that I haven't broken bone. I don't know what is a broken bone. And I have fallen many times. I have fallen, but I tell you what. God has kept me. It's not because I'm better than you, special than you. And God can keep you. I'm a testimony that God can keep you. Even when I was a sinner, he loved me. I could have died in Vietnam more than one time, but he kept me. He kept me. So I am a testimony that the word of God is true and faithful, and God is faithful with his word. And in the 75 years, I have prospered me. No, I don't have any money to give away. Maybe I don't have houses. Maybe I don't have this. I don't have that. But I tell you what, spiritually, I have prospered in 75 years. And I owe all that to God. He has brought me through many things. But I'm glad that he did. Because I wouldn't be the kind of man that I am today if he wouldn't brought me to all that. Amen. I always said my wife is a better woman than I am a man, because she has gone through hurting and she's still standing. I mean, 4 strokes and she's right there. I haven't had one. I haven't had to. She has had to go to hospitals and therapies. And I mean, she has it more hard than me. But nevertheless, we still have to believe the same. It doesn't matter if you do or you don't. You still got to believe the same. Amen. So let's stand up. Thank you for for putting up with me today. Thank you. Anyway, I miss you this morning. Amen. So where were you? Where were you, Adam? Where are you? Anyway, I miss you when I don't see the person in the right place. Not because I'm trying to figure out nothing. It's just I'm so adjusted to look and see. And this morning I will look there. Oh, I didn't see my brother there. And you don't have to, you know, look too far. He's so tall that you can see him over everybody. That is the only thing, you know. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We adore you. Lord, we love you. Father, thank you for choosing us. Thank you, Father, for just always being there when we need you. You never forsake us, Father. Father, you always mindful or even a small little things you are mindful, Father. Father, as the prophet told us, just make sure you take out the little ones, that God will make sure you take out the big ones, Father. And sometimes if something is too little for us, let us not take control. Let just with the same enthusiasm, with the same thing, go to you, Father, because we depend on you for the smallest thing to the biggest one, Father. Father, I don't want to take control of my life. I don't care how big or small. I want you to have control of my life, Father, because you know what's perfect. You know your will, and you know what you're doing in my life. Father, you're working something, Father, and it's just difficult. I cannot figure it out, and if I figure it out, I'm wrong, but you have it all under control in my life. And Father, that brings me peace and joy, and that brings me calm, Father, because I know that you are at work in behalf of me, Father. So it doesn't matter what comes, Father, I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you, Father. And thank you because you are the one that working in our life. You are the one that are prospering us, Father. You are the one that making us perfect. Everything that comes to us, it has a purpose and it has a reason. Nothing that happened to us is in vain. It has a purpose. And I'm so glad, Father, that you allow those things to happen so we can just grow, Father, have your character. Father, all these things teach us a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And just like Enoch, a little bit more. And then he was walking out of this earth. Father, we continue walking in this journey, Father, looking forward for you all the time, Father. Even when we go to sleep, Father, watch over us. And in the morning, you are the one that wake me up in the morning, Father, because I don't even have the strength sometimes to get up and go. But thank you for the strength, for the health. Thank you for the energy. Thank you, Father, for keeping me, blessing me, providing for me, Father. You are all in all. And I give you all the glory and the honor tonight, Father, because you are a good God. Father, you are awesome. Father, you are worthy, Father, of our praises. Even if you don't do anything else, Father, you're still God. And you're worthy of our praises. Father, bless the remainder of the service. And as we separate from each other, Father, keep us, watch over us, Father. Keep us safe. And I know you do that. You promise that you will keep us safe, Father. There's nothing out there that can harm us unless you decide that. Even Satan had to ask permission, Father. This is not something that he's freely and doing whatever he wants to do. Even to that end, he has to ask. And even when he asks, he cannot bring it to pass. So I don't know what's in his time to begin with, but you use him as a tool, Father. It's a tool for us to grow, Father, to perfection. Father, we love you again. We thank you. We thank you for this congregation, Father. Thank you, Father, for those that are out there too. For whatever reason they didn't come, Father, bless them. Thank you, Father, for the church as a whole. Bless it, Lord. And we ask you to always, Father, we want to make you welcome, Father. Whatever we do, we don't want to do nothing, Father, that will push you away, that the Holy Ghost will leave. Father, we want to welcome you all the time. So just help us, Father, always to do the right things, Father. To think the right things and do the right things. And if we don't, Father, forgive us. We confess our bad choices and errors, Father. Because when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I want to see is you. When I go to bed, the last thing I want to see is you. Because one of these days, I'm going to wake up forever and we'll never have to come back. And to that day, I'm looking forward. And my face is looking towards that. My face is looking to that change of this body, to that rapture. I'm looking for that day that I don't have to, that I will not come back anymore, that I will spend an eternity with you. I'm looking, I'm expecting, Father, that you will work your word in my life towards that end, as we have spoken today. Prosper your people, Father, physically, mentally, naturally, Father, but above all, spiritually, Lord. Because that is your work. And tonight, Father, we like to tell you thank you, and we appreciate. And we appreciate you, and we appreciate each other, Father, that you have brought us together, Father. So we love you and thank you. And if it's another day, Father, help us tomorrow to always, Father, wake up with one thing in mind, and that is to do thy will, thy perfect will in our life. We ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I guess. Are you waiting for me to step out? I just keep talking. If you don't come, you better come.